While the Rhonda Vincent tune Driving Nails in My Coffee from Raging Live was playing, I dialed in Eric Gibson. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks so much for being available. And I'll tell you this. You know, we have a chat room here that we open up at the beginning of each show if there's a DJ here. And there are people just waiting to hear from Eric Gibson. You have a crowd that's following you everywhere. Debbie is saying, please, I can't wait till the Gibson brothers come back to Ellenburg.
That's my hometown.
Well, yeah, man.
I think I know the Debbie you're talking about, and I hope she's doing well.
I think she's very excited and said, yeah. I'm getting all these little emoticons flying through the chat room, and I think she's responsible for half of them. So.
Great.
We have already, in the first part of the show, I did play the title cut from They Called It Music. And let me just tell you this, not that my opinion matters that much, but the Gibson brothers, you guys just keep getting better and better and better. Not that you were ever bad, but I'm just saying this new album is just, I mean, you can't find anything wrong with it.
Well, maybe if you look hard enough, you can, but I'm real proud of it. We're proud of it, and thank you for saying that. That's been our goal all along, is to try to improve and try to put the music first, and hopefully the other stuff will follow, and it seems like the other stuff's starting to catch up. It feels like the last few years have been, they've been our best years, hopefully that run can continue with this album.
Well, I mean, I put it on, I got it, about a week or so, I guess, I got from Compass sent me an early copy, so I could listen to it. And I clicked right away, I put in, and by a ring, Find the Preacher said, there's a banjo. I know I'm going to like this.
Good. We started out with a song that had harmony all the way through it, kicked off the banjo. And you try to make a statement with that first song. We wanted to kind of make a statement and with the harmony song, because that's what we really wanted to focus on this record was the brother duet vocals, and so we thought that was a good way to do it.
Well, it absolutely is, and of course we're talking to Eric Gibson here on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass, and the Gibson brothers are known for that brother harmony, and there's a special thing that happens, and people talk and write about it all the time between family members, that when they sing harmony, I don't know if I'm not that technical on it, the vocal cords vibrate in the same pattern, but the Gibson brothers are you guys are making a new statement for in support of familial harmonies, let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I mean, we've been singing together now for, well, gosh, I'll give away my age. I don't care. I'm 42 years old, at least 41, and we started singing together when we were maybe 14 and 13, so getting close to 30 years of singing together now. And we learned to talk around the same time. And
did you talk in harmony? Did you talk in harmony too?
No, I don't know. We didn't. We fought a lot, I'll tell you that. We've kind of set that stuff aside, the two of us, and we get along real well. Especially the two brothers who are together so much, we get along great.
But the harmony thing
is something we really have tried to hone through the years, and we're even going back, we've been listening a lot to some of the old-time brother duets, even more lately. I think our next record's going to be a brother tribute album, where we take tribute to the brother acts of the past, and try to do our versions of these old songs, and I think it'd be fun to do that. We've talked about it for years, and I think the time is now to do it.
That would be nice.
We're going to be working on it.
You could do justice to just about any brother harmony act I can think of out there right now. You believe me, this would be a nice, what a great idea.
Well, we've been kicking the idea around for years, and finally we just said, why not? Let's do it. And so we're digging into old Gilmore Brothers stuff and Bluestein Boys stuff, and I think we'll probably do some Everly's and definitely some Lubins and Stanley's and Jim and Jesse, and it's going to be fun.
I don't know
when we'll do it, but I think we'll do it in the next year or so.
That'll be a blast. The new album is doing very
well. Let's talk about this record.
Well, we are. We're getting there, man. This new record is like.
It's my fault.
That's okay. Listen, I tell everybody that calls in here, I don't have a lot of structure to what I do. It's very relaxed, and we just kind of go where the conversation goes. But I've got it in front of me. We'll get back to it.
It's
promise.
It's my fault.
Speaking of the new record, They Called It Music. It's doing really, really well. Every time I turn around, it's topping another chart somewhere.
Well, I'm so thankful for that. I think Lee and I both agree on that radio AirPlay has been, I don't think we'd still be on the road without it. You know, I think that we started seeing it a few years ago that when we'd go to a new place, a new festival in far away from upstate New York, like in Florida, and people, when we'd kick out into ring the bell, people would start clapping right away, like things, and that was radio doing that. And and luckily, it seems that DJs are jumping on this record, and we need them to. You know, every act needs them to, and we're thankful for that. And I don't know, we don't make records saying, "Oh, this one's going to be good on the radio." We try to find songs that suit us the best, you know, and hope radio likes it. But you're not thinking, "I'm making this one, this song, 2.5 minutes, so radio will play."
Right.
You know.
And you shouldn't.
But we've got DJs don't seem to care about that stuff anyway.
No, and you should never think in those terms. You're doing the right thing. What you're doing, and here's just a little comment that I make about when I listen to the Gibson Brothers music, not just this, the new one, they called it music, but even though it seems like every album you'll have a song that is specifically about music, but when I listen to your music, they're all kind of about music, and because it touches on family life and faith issues, and to me, you guys are always singing about music in a sense, and playing about music. And maybe that's just my interpretation, but I sense it's really part of what you're trying to do.
Well, I it's not something we really set out to do, you know. But you do write about what matters to you, you know. And when I was writing that song, I got the idea from Joe Newberry, who's a great singer, songwriter. Plays anything with strings. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and he was telling me about meeting a gentleman, an old gentleman from around the Mount Airy area. And Joe was just spellbound by his banjo playing, and he got thinking, what did they call this type of music when you were a young man? You know, and what was the label? You know, and the old man said, "Son, they call it music." And Joe's the one who gave me the idea to write the song. But I got a lot of things in there that I wanted to, because I've always thought how important music was, has always been important to people. You know, it was important in Bible times. It was important before there was any recording technology, and how many great songs and great singers never got recorded. And I just thought about that. People still sang. They weren't doing it to make a buck. You know, I think about my grandfather learning songs working in lumber camps. You know, he learned the song 21 Years, which has like 8 verses. He learned that from another lumberjack. And I'm thinking, would two men, could you watch Tax Men now and have two men sing a song to one another? You know, you wouldn't ever see that, would
no,
you?
No, no.
But that whole idea of music always been being a common thread throughout history, and to me, proof of God. You know, I don't think music just happens, you know, and I wanted to get that in a song, and I think I came close to it, you know?
Well, and you absolutely did. You did. And the message comes through loud and clear, believe me. And I think you've captured all those things you're talking about with faith and family and music. And I think, to you, I think they're not one and the same, but they're all parts of something that's very close to each other in one big whole, is the way I would put it. And also, too, you talk about they called it music. That kind of reminds me of the before we had labels of music.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that's the story that Joe was relating to you about the older gentleman that, you know,
yes.
they didn't call it bluegrass or country, or they called it music.
we've kind of gone through that through the years. I mean, we've gone some places where folks will say, "Well, you're not real traditional, but we like you."
Yeah.
And then we'll go to another place where they'll say, "Thank God they put some traditional music on this lineup." So we don't really know where we fall on the traditional versus progressive spectrum, but I like, you know, my favorite bluegrass is the first generation bluegrass, you know, the stuff I grew up on, but I have appreciation for all of it, you know, and I think there's room for all of it, you
good.
Know, and I think maybe that's what Joe Newberry was talking about, and I've had people with this song. It's funny because I've had real hardcore traditionalists tell me they love the song, and then we did a show with the great Noel Pikilney, and he stood on the side of the stage and watched the whole show. And afterwards, he came up and said how much he loved that particular song. I thought, Noel is probably the best banjo player of his generation, you know, and he can play anything that comes in his head, and for him to narrow in on that song, it told me that that song has some maybe some wide ranging appeal.
Well, I don't know when you talked to him or saw him about this, but you know he's touring now with what basically is a bluegrass band. So you've pushed him back into that root of the bluegrass sound.
I think he's always kind of been there. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's amazing, you know. And I'd be excited to see that show that he's got. I saw him playing with Barry Bales and Ronnie McCurry and Luke Bula and Brian
Sutton.
That's a heck of a
Their first stop was here in Cincinnati, which is across the river from me, and the first time they appeared was Tuesday, and it's going to be good. It's by the time they're finished, they need to get in the studio just so the rest of us can have it and play it over and over again.
That'd be great.
Hey, when you started playing music, and of course I knew you grew up doing it, and I know you play a lot of different instruments. Did you ever think that Deering would be saying, "Hey, Eric Gibson, we'd like for you to sponsor our banjos"?
No, I didn't. You know, and I've had several sponsorships through the years. And the way I think it helps me, I think my last name helps me because
I never thought of that. No,
it's not my playing; it's my name.
We'll get a Gibson playing a Deering. That's pretty cool. That just cracks me up. That did not occur to me.
But I do. I love that. I love the banjo that I'm playing right now. It's a Deering. Tenbrook's legacy, and it's cracks. You know, I never have a hard time hearing that thing on stage. In fact, I was looking at a picture of the band the other day, and Clayton was way away from the rest of us, and he's trying to get away from that banjo's volume. I have to make sure to point it straight ahead because Lee gives me the old eyebrow look. You know, when I turn my banjo towards him, I kind of have a complex about it. I got to stand straight ahead.
Don't do it, man. Don't be loud and proud for all of us banjo players. Do not back down.
I'm heard, but I don't want to drown out what they're doing. You know what I mean? I have to make sure I'm facing away from them a little bit. And that banjo does crack. I've never not heard myself on stage, no matter the monitor situation. So they sent me a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and I guess I last saw the band I don't know, maybe last year, and this album was not out yet, but who's with the band right now on this particular album, by the way?
Well, this album has Mike Barber on it, and Mike's done on all of our CDs. He was for 19 years, going on, it'll be 20 in August, 20 years of the band. Clayton Campbell on the fiddle, he's been with us for 9 years. Joe Walsh on the mandolin, who was playing with us for 4.5 years, but he's actually, Joe is not in the band anymore. We've had a band change, and we'll be announcing another member soon. But Joe's an amazing player and has added a lot to what we've done in the last several years. But anyway, it's a complete band project. You know, we didn't have any guests on this record, and
I noticed that.
It's not that we don't like other people. You go to Nashville to record, the temptation is to play with all the toys in the toy box, you know, and there's so many great players there, but we got recording the record, and it was sounding right, you know, and we just said, we're covering the bases, and maybe make a little bit of a statement, and just make this a complete band recording, and that's what we did.
Well, and the thing about it, too, and maybe that's why when you see the Gibson Brothers live, it's just like, you guys don't leave anything in the studio. Maybe it's because, in this instance, the same band in the studio, you know, but for one change you just mentioned, you're going to see them live. And the Gibson Brothers live, you just leave nothing out. I mean, you come in and you pour everything into every song, whether it's a huge venue or a smaller venue. And your dedication to the sound of the band, which I think is key, just shows.
That's so nice of you to say that. I will promise you that not one of us has ever mailed it in on stage, and that's not going to happen. If I start even feeling that that's happening, I'll go do something else for a living. So I love playing music, you know, I hear a lot of musicians complain about how hard it is, and the traveling is hard. It really is, and we all get worn out and run down, but I've dug ditches, and I've worked on farms. I've done a lot of hard work. It's, to me, not as hard, it's harder than playing music. And I can give everything I got for a 45-minute set, no matter how I feel. I'm going to give it, and we all feel that way. And thank you for saying that. You know, I love it, and when we're playing on stage, I'm not thinking about anything but getting inside that song, you know, and trying to deliver it. And that's what we all talk about. Just like, try to get in the moment here, guys, and let's make music. Let's not just be robots up there and play it the exact same way we've done it 100 other times. Let's not play the same set over and over again. We don't even use a set list. Let's go up there and try to be in the moment and have fun. And if we have fun, the audience most likely will have fun, whether it's a big one or a small one.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. The times that I've seen you. So without a set list, you just you kind of have an idea of what you want to cover. Like for now, you have this new album. They called it Music. Do you try to cover the tunes on that, or just the order is what you kind of improvise with?
We won't go out and do the whole album one set, you know. But we'll try to cover a bunch of the songs. Excuse me, one second. I'm on the radio.
tell him what's going on.
He did that on the radio.
Tell him what's going on, Eric. You're sitting there with.
But anyway,
we're in the family. By the way, we're in the family home of Eric Gibson, so he's in my.
Right now, when you see us on the road, you're going to hear a lot of the songs. They call it Music, but we'll also do our own songs and from our other albums, and we'll do songs that we haven't recorded and may never. You know, we try to keep it fresh for ourselves each night.
Well, can I? I will tell you this. I've listened to this album. Here's what I do when I get something new. I leave it in the car because I seem to spend most of my listening time driving around. I don't know why that is, unless it's late at night. And every time I come to one song on this album, the whole album is great, but there's one that I've skipped back to. You know, to go back and listen to a couple of times, and it's not the banjo song, Eric. It's not the one with the banjo in it.
That's all right.
I'll tell you which one it is. And I think the whole album is great. But this one, I keep clicking back to number 10 on the album, that I Will Always Cross Your Mind.
Oh, wow.
That's a beautiful song.
I Will Always Cross Your Mind. Yep, my brother's voice sounds like $1 million on that song, doesn't it?
Oh, God. Can we take a second and I can click that on so people know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, it's probably kicking me anyway.
Yeah. I'm talking to Eric Gibson, and we're talking about They Called It Music, which is their new album on Compass, great album of the Gibson Brothers. And I'm going to play you a tune with Eric's permission. The whole album is fantastic, but I'm driving around, I keep clicking back to number 10, which is I Will Always Cross Your Mind. This is just gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Hold on a second. All right, we're back on with Eric Gibson and Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. And Eric told a neat little story about that tune you just heard from the new album. They called it Music. I Will Always Cross Your Mind. Eric, tell the folks out there what you were telling me about where that song came from and how it popped up on this album.
My friend Roy Hurd wrote that song. He's a Adirondack singer-songwriter who actually made his living in Nashville for 10 or 15 years writing for different publishing companies. He showed us that song, and we loved it, and recorded it on a country record that we made back in, I guess, 1999, but the record never came out, and we'd kind of forgotten about the song, and Lee had the song on his iPod, and the other guys in the band heard it, and they said, why don't we do that song, and they said, oh, we'll keep it in the back of our mind for our next record, and when it came time to make the record, Lee was all about singing it, so that song found new life after all this time, and I'm glad you like it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And we were talking off the air here that I don't think it's just that, you know, when I have a Gibson Brothers, I'm thinking bluegrass and that song comes. And I did not know the history of it. I just didn't know it. But, boy, it's such a beautiful song. I got a feeling you're going to get a lot of reaction to that as you go throughout this album. It's just one of those ones that kind of keeps pulling you back. And as you're going through the album, you're going to keep coming back and thinking, wow, what a beautiful tune. Something I always ask people, Eric, is song selection. Like at this point, to Gibson Brothers, you probably have more songs available to you now than you did 10 years ago. I don't know. That's an assumption. But song selection for albums, how does that process work for you?
Well, we like to write, you know, and we ended up writing a lot of this record, as we do on most of our records. But that doesn't mean that if we find a song by another writer from another state, from an old album somewhere, that people haven't covered to death, that we're not going to do it. I think you can fall into a trap of falling in love with your own writing so much that you're blind to other people's songs. And if somebody sends me a song that beats something I've written, I hope that I can set my ego aside and do the better song, you know. So I think we're always on the lookout. We're always listening, you know, always listening for songs that would suit us. We listen to singer songwriters that maybe sometimes they're not in bluegrass. You know, we've gotten songs from people like Martin Offler and Bruce Robeson and Kieran Kane, you know, more Americana type writers, and tried to adapt them to bluegrass. We've done that through the years, and to me, that's the fun part. I love searching for songs. I love writing. I love finding material, and it's one of the rewarding parts of the job.
Well, I think it shows that you're open to things that if you hear another song, you think you can adjust or make it into a Gibson Brothers sound. Of course, you know the song Fox on the Run. Everybody knows that song, right?
Yeah.
Bill Emerson was in his car driving, and he heard that song on the radio, which it's from Manfred Mann back in the late 60s, which was kind of a rock band. And they actually, the first version, they did very well with it. Bill heard it on the radio, got it on a recording, and took it to the band, which I think was probably the Country Gentleman then, and decided this would make a good bluegrass song. And he was pretty accurate on that. So it's good that you take that opportunity to listen to, you know, music that's not necessarily bluegrass or not necessarily music that the band generates. But I think it shows that your selection. I'm always intrigued with song selection for albums, whether you write them or not. That's an art. That's an art as much as recording and singing and performing. The song selection, when you finally get it down to what you want to do and perform, is definitely a big part, I think, of the success of the Gibson Brothers.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm a big Tom Petty fan, and I was reading an interview with him where he said, with making a record, material is everything. He said, you can have the best singers and the best musicians in the world, but if the songs aren't there, it's not worth doing. And I agree with that, you know, and I hope we're making the right choices. We put a lot of thought into it, you know, and a lot of, yeah, just Lee and I take a lot of time, and we have to agree that it suits us, you know.
Okay.
It suits our vocals.
Okay,
and,
so one person says absolutely not, probably you don't have too many discussions where that ends like that, but basically what you want everyone to be happy between the two of you. That's something that you can do and pull off.
Yeah, I there's no use of recording something that and it's happened before where I've strong-armed a song onto the record, or Lee has suggested one that I, you know, I ended up agreeing to that I wasn't completely caught on. You know, like, we don't do that anymore. Like, if both of us don't just completely love it, we don't do it. And I asked him to be very honest with me, especially with my writing, because, you know, I don't want him to worry about hurting my feelings. I want him to want to sing these songs in our shows. And so no use recording them if we're not planning on playing them on stage at some point.
Well, and if he forces you into a song, you've always got the banjo you can turn in his direction if you have to perform it live.
Exactly. Yeah, and just melt him down right.
He's gonna lose that one every time. Hey, Eric, is there a tune before you came on the air, we played the title cut. We just played a favorite of mine of I Will Always Cross Your Mind. Is there one that you want to sneak in? And then I know that I told you I wouldn't keep you more than half an hour. Then we'll play one more, then I'll come back, and we'll just talk about what you're up to and where you're going. What would you want to hear?
You know, I love them all, but, you know, I really, one that I really like a lot is by Joe Newberry, the track 3, The Darker the Night, the Better I See. I love the feel of that song. It sounds like honky-tonk and bluegrass combined, I think.
Well, let's do that. From the new Gibson Brothers, They Called It Music, we will play The Darker the Night, the Better I See. Hold on just one second. All right, there you go. That was and people in the chat room, Eric, are going crazy over every song we play. You've got a lot of fans out there. That was The Darker the Night, the Better I See from They Called It Music, and Eric called for that one, so we played it right away. I appreciate that one. That was a good one.
Well, thanks. I'm glad folks are enjoying it out in the chat world.
They are.
that's fun. That's a lot of fun. And that song is one that Joe came to one of our shows. Joe Newberry came to one of our shows in North Carolina and said, "I've written a song that I wrote with Lee in mind," and puffed up Lee's feathers pretty good. He's pretty excited that somebody wrote a song with him in mind, and it really suits his voice.
Well, of course, they don't know that you're trying to get smoke out of your house. Every time we go to a break, Eric is it's cold where he is, but he's also got a little bit of a backup on his fire up there.
Yeah, so. my pellet stove. I started my pellet stove about 10 minutes before you called, and the fire didn't start, and my son came up to tell me that the house is full of smoke, but I got some windows open, and okay. We're still up here in the great white north here. It says spring on the calendar, but it's not acting much like it.
Okay. But you're okay. Everybody's breathing, and we don't have to call any fire.
We're fine.
All right.
Fine. Everybody's still alive.
Oh, man. Well, I do appreciate it. Of course, you have a website. Tell everybody how to get to the website.
It's GibsonBrothers.com.
Easy. That was easy.
Yeah. We were lucky the name was still around when we got the domain name, you know, but call out GibsonBrothers.com. We'd love for folks to leave a little note in our guest book.
So you're traveling all around in support of this album, and of course you're appearing places. Do you know where you're? Can you remember offhand where you're coming up in the next week or so? Of course, they can get all that information off your site, but go ahead and tell them.
We actually have we have a couple weeks off, and then we get geared up again. We start playing on April 25th in Saratoga Springs at New York at Lillian's Restaurant, and then playing a hometown show on April 26th. Ellenburg Depot, New York, at my alma mater, Northern Adirondack Central School. And then the next night we'll be in Connecticut, in North Connecticut, at the Infinity Music Hall. And then we're into the festival season.
You're into the festival,
Gettysburg and Branson at the Bluegrass Barbecue Festival, Kentucky Opry, and on and on. Luckily, we're very grateful. We have a good, strong schedule ahead of us, and look forward to getting out and playing these songs.
Well, there'll be, people can find you just about anywhere. I get one. Once the festival season starts, if you look hard enough on their website, you'll find the Gibson Brothers somewhere.
Well, we
and they're going to enjoy it.
We hope we see a bunch of your listeners.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah, you will. Hey, Eric Gibson, thanks so much, man. I'll let you get back to, he's home with his kids, and we actually interrupted a little bit of an impromptu music lesson with his son, and get back to that family music time, man. That's important.
Hey, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking to you, Steve.
Good.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad it worked out. And
yeah.
Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely, man.
Tell Herb Peterson what a great, well, he must know, but he's a great singer and a great writer and a great player. That's going to be a fun interview.
Oh, it will be. I'm looking forward to that one, like I was this one, too. But, we'll do it again. We'll get you back on and talk about how the album's doing in a few months then, okay?
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Eric Gibson. See you, man.
See
ya. Bye. There's a good guy. Eric Gibson, the Gibson Brothers. Boy, you just can't find better bluegrass music than what they're putting out right now. You cannot do it. They called it music, and that's a good description. Before we put labels on things, I happen a little bit of editorial here. I think labels tend to restrict, and the attempt is to try to kill off music. Music is alive, and you can't squeeze it. It's like that little puppy. If you try to squeeze it to keep it small, you're just going to kill it. Thanks so much, Eric Gibson, for tuning in.